Welcome. Pull up a seat, relax, and pour yourself a drink. You're invited to listen in on Bean and Bowman share life stories and personal perspectives.
And we're back. We are here, Bean and Bowman, and just so glad to see you today. Even though we're separated thousands of miles from each other, it's just so wonderful that we're actually able to get to see each other and talk to each other as we do. This is really, really great. Just to let you know, we are not just your co-hosts on this podcast, Bean and Bowman, but we're also related father-in-law and son-in-law. So, right, what's our connection is to my wife, who is your daughter.
Yeah, that's so the connection.
Yeah. Amazing. Hey, you know what? We're going to be exploring a subject today that personally has fascinated me my entire life. I know it's been a subject that's been of interest to you as well. And again, it's just one of those things that I think that for our listeners, may not be the sort of thing that I think about every day, or maybe it is. We're going to be exploring something a little bit off the beaten track, and yet at the same time, it's making headlines, isn't it? We're going to be talking about phenomenon such as Bigfoot, aliens, and Loch Ness Monster. Perhaps we can jump into a few other areas, but this is, I think, going to be very, very interesting. First of all, Steve, why are you interested in this area? This area that some people would deem to be, paranormal or not the kind of day to day normal topics. Why are you interested in this?
I think the origin of my interest is the lack of interest in the general population. And it strikes me as being highly interesting, highly significant. And if you want to start with, for example, Bigfoot yeah. Is commonly referred to as Sasquatch. So sort of a large, hairy, human-like mythical creature, alleged by some to inherit forests in North America, particularly in the Pacific Northwest. Bigfoot is featured in both American and Canadian folklore, and since the mid-20th century has grown into popular culture, becoming the subject of its own subculture. It's some people call it a pseudoscience and so forth and so on, but Bigfoot lorists, they call them, trace the phenomenon of Bigfoot to a combination of factors and sources, including the European wild man, folktales, indigenous creatures, examples of folk tales of southeastern United States, and so forth and so on. Furthermore, in a descriptive standpoint, Sasquatch is what some people call it. Bigfoot is often described as a large, muscular, bipedal, human or ape-like structure covered in black, dark brown, or dark reddish hair. Anecdotal descriptions estimate height of about 6'9", which is pretty tall, and some descriptions have even having creatures standing as tall as 10 to 15 feet. Some alleged observations describe Bigfoot as more human than ape, particularly with regard to the face. Multiple people in the Dallas, Oregon area find a police report describing an overgrown ape, and one of the men claimed to have sighted a creature in the scope of his rifle, but couldn't bring himself to shoot it because it's more like he would go more human than an animal. Common descriptions and include broad shoulders, no visible neck, long arms, which many skeptics attribute to misidentification of a bear standing upright. Not so sure about that. Some alleged nighttime sightings have stated that the creature's eyes glowed yellow or red. However, eye shine is not present in humans or in any other known great ape. So proposed explanations for observable eye shine off the ground or in the forest, or owls or raccoons or opossums perched in foliage doesn't really, you know, can matter or can't matter. There's a guy by the name of Michael Rugg, the owner of the Bigfoot Discovery Museum. He claimed to have smelled Bigfoot and said that that smelled like a skunk that had rolled around in dead animals and had hung around garbage pits. It sounds like he used a little deodorant. the enormous footprints for which the creature is named are claimed to be as large as 24 inches long and 8 inches wide. Some Bigfoot casts have also contained claw marks, making it likely they came from known animals such as bears, which have five toes and claws. So that's what my research has dug up, and I don't understand why until now nobody has really have seen one in the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years or talked about it at all, including myself.
Right. It's one of those things that really nags at the imagination. And yet there have been, I remember when I was a kid, maybe I was a little, I don't know, it was around, I must've been around 12 years old, something like that. So it's the 1970s. And I remember watching that famous, there's this famous movie that was done. It was a short film. It was the Patterson-Gimlin film that was filmed on October the 20th, 1967. It was about 3 minutes long, and it's from Northern California, in which it's that one of those famous videos, the movies, I guess it was, of Bigfoot, of Sasquatch. And, you know, it's just, it looks, for the first 2.5 minutes, it's, you know, two guys, and they're on their horse, and they're in the woods, and it's done. It must have been using Super 8 or some, you know, kind of, and they're looking around, and it's all going very nice and everything, and then in the last few seconds of the film, everything goes shaky. Clearly, the person who was doing the movie was disturbed by something, and then there it is. There's that exactly like you've just described it. This human-looking person, all black or dark hair, walking across the area, and it's. I remember, you know, as I say, I was around 12 years old, saw it for the first time in theater. I guess it must have been at a theater or somewhere, and I'm like, "What the heck is that?" And immediately. I think your point is right on target. The unknown, right? It's the unknown. It hasn't been, you know, it's unresolved, right? It's a mystery that's unresolved. And in fact, from just checking on my end, it turns out that in this past October 2023, Miss Shannon Parker actually uploaded a video to Facebook, and that video was when she was on a train in the San Juan Mountains in Colorado. And the fact is that it, there it is. It's out there in the video. People are trying to figure out, is it real? Is it a hoax? But it hasn't been decided. So there it is, as recently as October of this past year.
Well, I think that the thing about Bigfoot is it's recency. In other words, you know, I've been around for a number of years, and I never even heard of it. Certainly never saw it. I don't understand why all of a sudden it's not drawing the attention that I would think that it would draw, like from maybe the president or his assistants or Homeland Security or whatever. But
does it pose a threat? I mean, is it something that, you know, it seems to me it's not walking around with clothes on. It whatever is going on, he or she or they are rather primitive, I would imagine. What kind of threat do you think that they pose as opposed to any other animal in the wild?
I don't think that they're overtly threatening, but. If I happen to run across one within speaking range, I would say something to the effect that, "Hey, dude, where you been? I mean, I haven't seen you. I have never seen one of you before. Why am I seeing you now? Maybe they hibernate for long periods of time. I don't really know. I don't really get it. But if they're out there, they're the striking point with me is that that why now? Okay, I mean, why now? If they're out there, why now? Don't they have a task force to investigate these things and find out what they are?
What's behind it? Right, right.
If they are in fact a primitive creature, then my only hypothesis could be that they somehow or other are not indigenous to any particular area, but they tend to hibernate or something, and maybe the time has come for them to come out of hibernation, because they've had to been around, but the subject is never brought to the attention of the president. Maybe they're dangerous. Maybe they're not dangerous. Maybe we can learn something from them or whatever. But I personally happen to believe that they do exist, because there's too many credible sources for visual sightings to discount that possibility.
Right, 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 exactly. So I guess it nags at us because, you know, it nags, or because it makes us curious, as you say, because it's still unknown, and yet at the same time there is, you know, there's been sightings. Why aren't we looking into it more? Really, really good point. Really good point. I think it's also interesting that this phenomenon has been around for a long time. As you say, it's reemerging now. Why? These are all really good questions. I mean, is it a being that is sensitive to the changes in the climate, for example? Is it being affected by population expansion, by growth, by pollution? I don't know. It's an interesting phenomenon. Is it a hoax? And is it something that people are just perpetuating as a hoax? I mean, that's also something that people are proposing. But as you say, until we look into it more, the question remains unanswered.
Yeah, it could be a sensitive creature. The point you brought up just now, climate change, maybe it only takes a degree or two to elicit their appearance. I don't really know. The best theory that I've heard of so far is a form of hibernation that ends with a minute change in thermal activity, and it's fascinating to me, because if you come up with what could they really be about, the only thing I could think of is what you said. And that is that they're subject to sensitivity to minor changes in climate.
Right, that could be one of the reasons why there's been a spike in sightings and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's a very good question. Let's move to another very, very fascinating area, and also an area that is very unresolved. And an area actually goes beyond the Pacific Northwest of the United States and into Canada, but rather something that's actually more worldwide. And that's the question of UFOs, unidentified flying objects.
Yeah, that's another issue. I mean, there was a former Pentagon official, he said, and his job was to inform the, this is a credible person, the truth about what's going on there. He claims the government has been keeping crashed alien spaceships under wraps for decades. Sounds like a pitch for a Hollywood movie. But last year, Americans saw it happen on the news. A former Pentagon official by the name of David Grush had been an Air Force intelligence officer. He told a congressional committee that he learned of decades-long Pentagon program focused on crash retrieval and reverse engineering of UFOs from other planets. Grush also said that the remains found of the spacecraft sites were non-human biologics. That's right, crashed alien spacecraft and dead extraterrestrials right there in the congressional record. If it wasn't the wildest thing you ever broadcast on Z-SPAN, it must have been close. I mean, someone should really look into this. Turns out that somebody already had. The Pentagon tapped a veteran scientist, intelligence officer by the name of Sean Kilpatrick, to set up a new office tasked with the investigating UFO sightings by the U.S. military, named the All Domain Anomaly Research Resolution Office by the Department of Defense. And they, his job at the Pentagon was seriously taken. And he spoke in front of the people and said that in most expensive media interviews ever given, and he laid out a convincing case that the swirling stories for decades about alleged government cover-ups of alien-related UFOs may well have been fueled largely by true believers inside the U.S. government or close ties to it. Since the term flying saucer, actually, was first coined, much of the conspiratorial thinking about UFOs has been spawned by people catching glimpses of highly secret U.S. aircraft and wanting answers. And when the government doesn't provide answers, the public imagination takes over. So, you know, why isn't the public demanding an answer? And B, why are very credible people, really credible people, able to spot them, photograph them? We're talking about, you know, we're trained, highly trained Air Force personnel and so on. And if you ask the president about UFOs, he says, I don't know.
Right. No, again, it's one of those things that there's been so much, witnessing and evidence and documentation on this. And yet at the same time, as you say, it seems to get ignored. I mean, even to have testimony on the congressional record that we're talking about, I mean, we're talking about somebody, giving testimony in Congress and talking about this idea of UFOs and what the government has been, the United States government has been doing, and perhaps other governments around the world as well. And yet at the same time, as you say, it doesn't make it to the anywhere near in the top priority list, or at least not publicly, of world leaders. We talked about this before, why should it even be a credible idea for there to be life beyond Earth? We were talking about this idea in terms of statistics, right?
Yeah, just from a statistical probability standpoint, and I have studied advanced statistics, it is highly, highly, highly improbable, and you might even put it in the category of impossible, for there not to be life on other planets. Since in our galaxy, the Milky Way, there are millions of other planets. Why only this planet Earth contains what it contains? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So, you know, it seems to me like there have to be other forms of life out there, and many of them can be way further advanced than us. And if that's the case, that would enable them to travel at high rates of speed. The fastest item in terms of speed known to man is light. So I don't know what's going on. Now, if you compare that to things that bring people's attention to the forefront, it can be the littlest, most minute thing could happen. Just watch the nightly news. They bring up the most minute, uninteresting things anybody could think of. And they show that to the public as this is news. Okay. It's mind-boggling to me that from a statistical standpoint, they are ignoring all these things. The slightest little thing that another country does, or the slightest little thing that somebody does when they rob a bank, that's big news. But the other thing that is a statistical high probability, you could almost make the statement that the high probability of existing life outside of our known form far exceeds anything that exists on this planet we inhabit.
Right. Yeah. It seems like they're missing the big story. The big story is not being told. And it's very interesting because your point on that, in the absence of an authoritative, investigation, a proper investigation, proper transparency, I guess, regarding the issue of UFOs and regarding life beyond Earth. In the absence of that, our imagination does take over and does actually try and conjure up the missing pieces. So, you know, you think about things of H.G. Wells's The War of the Worlds, when he wrote that back in 1897, I think it was. And, you know, basically thinking about the idea of what if. Now, he talked about Martians at the time. You know, he talked about, you know, coming from Mars and you know, invading Earth. And it's very interesting because that story, The War of the Worlds, which was a book form, when it was actually produced as a radio broadcast in 1938 by Orson Welles, for the first two-thirds, if I'm not mistaken, of the radio show, it actually sounded like real bulletins and real reports that were being broadcast over the radio. And actually, it was documented panic. People were absolutely, as far as everyone was concerned, yes, this was really happening. There really was a Martian invasion of Earth. The last third dealt with trying to regain some control a little bit and show that it was actually a radio program. But by that point in time, people had, you know, and so I think people, it's not that they want to believe it. They, you know, since they know it and they're waiting, people are hungry for real data. And I think that's a very, very good point. Have you ever come across, you know, a UFO or any alien beings?
Not in my daily travels. I have I have watched the news, and the people that are on the news talking about this don't seem to be in any way mentally disturbed or you know, just making it up. And as I said before, the most striking phenomenon is the lack of attention that's being brought to it. I don't really understand it. You would think that they would want to know something about this, they being the government and those people who are supposedly in charge, because from a statistical standpoint, it just doesn't make any sense. There are millions and millions of reasons why it's they have to be taken seriously. You know, if another country invaded the United States or Canada or Israel or whatever, you know, there would be a response. But we don't know. I mean, you know, they're you know, long ago there was life on Earth, long before we were here, long before we were here, and has long disappeared. As we will at some point in time. I mean, we're not talking about hundreds of years. I think we may be talking about millions of years. So right. It's just, I find it to be incredible that all these things don't enter everybody's day-to-day conversation. They talk about other things. They talk about the Detroit Lions being a great football team, the fact that the Tigers are now undefeated in the current season, and they talk about things of that nature, which are certainly unimportant in comparison to you know, unidentified flying objects. And when you talk about trained Air Force pilots, these people are not wackos. These people are highly trained, highly intelligent, highly scrutinized, highly evaluated, and beyond that, they have photographs and movies of them. And they say, well, there it is right there. I got a picture of it. And some of these UFOs are enormously large, enormously large in size. And we're talking about big and saucer type things. I can remember years ago, they used to talk about flying saucers. And somebody at the time had picked up that jargon. Why didn't they say flying dinner plates or flying cups or flying anything, but they described them as a saucer, which they turned out to be.
Amazing. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, absolutely. That there was this, again, there's this synapse that takes place between our imagination and what people have been seeing and what they've been citing. And I remember an incident that took place. We had a cottage or whatever, a vacation home, if you will, in north of Toronto, a couple hours north of Toronto, in the woods there, and, you know, a lot of beautiful lakes and everything and all that stuff, and also farm fields. And there had been a story about a sighting that took place. It was witnessed by many, many people. Something happened at night. The lights in the sky. Again, people were observing it from different perspectives, different geographic perspectives. And then later on, they had found there were actually witnesses of people saying that they actually saw beings in the field that seemed to move in defiance of gravity. In other words, they were able literally to jump just the same way you see our astronauts when they're jumping around on the moon. Same sort of thing here, as if they were experiencing near zero gravity. And it was witnessed that they were touching these cows in a field. Later on, they went and assessed the cows, and they found that they had traces of radiation. They had been some kind of radiation burns or radiation markings after that experience. Again, I didn't witness it, but I'm reporting on what was discussed, what was cited. And I remember it being like in the news, it was on the radio and everything. I'm going, wow, that's really cool. Come to visit.
I think that people, in every generation, are somewhat naive, tending to believe that their world consists of what is around them and what they're used to. And they find it, I think the best phrase is, they find it hard to believe. And so they act that out. They don't. They just say, well, you know, whatever. I mean, I never personally saw one, but if they're out there, then they're out there. But I think the naivety of people explains a lot of it. Plus, we live in a weird world now. Everybody's busy doing different things. Say, you know, you may be right about flying saucers, but I got to go bowling. My league meets today, or I got tickets for the Super Bowl or something like that, because they find it hard to distinguish between reality and something they insert into their reality. And by doing that, they don't do it. I've seen presidents interviewed and they say, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. What else you want to talk about?
Right.
How do I get reelected? That's the main thing that I want to talk about.
I think it was President Obama had just been elected. And he was on one of these nighttime talk shows. Was it? Oh, I can't remember who it was, but you could look it up. And first question comes out: you've just been elected, and they asked him, you know, what do you think? What do you make of all these? What do you make of aliens? And he's like, I can't discuss it.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think that, and then they don't want to panic people. Because it could have its roots in maintaining economic equilibrium. I don't know. It's just they're there. Something's there.
What would you do if you were wrong and you actually saw a UFO like right in front of you? What would your response be? Would it come from a place of fear or more curiosity?
No, I would. I think my approach would be, based upon rumor, would be to try to talk to them or find out what they're about or see if one of them's named Irving or whatever or who are they? Where do they come from?
See the leader.
I don't understand all that stuff. I think it's just overwhelmingly hard to visualize. As the human brain is constructed to try to maintain stability. That's my take on this. I really don't know. Maybe in future generations they'll figure it out. But now they aren't, or don't want to, or can't. I mean, when we're talking about unidentified flying objects, we're talking about the most renowned, incredible scientists that exist on our planet today, and they have opinions on it, and nobody pays much attention to it.
Right. Very true. Okay. Moving to Scotland. Let's move to Scotland.
Scotland, of course. The iconic Loch Ness monster.
The word Loch is Scottish or for the word lake. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's exactly what it means. It means lake. And the Loch Ness, the iconic Loch Ness, is one of the largest and deepest expanses of water in the United Kingdom. It's about 800 feet deep, and it's the largest in a string of locks along the Great Glen, they called it, situated just south of Inverness, the capital of the Highlands. You can drive along the western edge, and the area is renowned for its dramatic scenery, bordered by picturesque villages such as one named Flores and the other one named Doris. You can take a closer look at Nessie by hopping aboard a boat cruise from various locations on the lock. Don't forget your camera, or else you're going to get a snap of a Nessie selfie. One legend is from northern Scotland in the United Kingdom, where a cold, murky, and mysterious freshwater lake called Loch Ness is located. Loch is pronounced L-O-C-H is pronounced L-O-C-K, Loch. The word means lake in the Scottish language, actually. That's where it's been. And Loch Ness is quite large in size. It's 23 miles long and a mile wide and very deep. It's about 788 feet deep at its deepest. Legend about the lakes dates back 1,500 years when there was an Irish monk by the name of St. Columba entered a beast in the river, and it flows into Loch Ness. Supposedly, he drove the creature away when he made the sign of the Christian cross. I mean, there's a lot of stories about it. In modern times, more than 1,000 people claim they've seen Nessie, the name locals gave to the creature years ago. Descriptions vary. Some say that the creature resembles a salamander. Others say a whale or a seal. Typically, visibility during these sightings was not good. In most cases, witnesses were familiar with the Loch Ness legend beforehand. No one has ever found any physical evidence of unusual prehistoric creatures living in the loch. Good physical evidence might be capturing the creature on a clear photograph or an encounter where a biologist has the opportunity to examine the creature. However, much of the alleged evidence supporting its existence has been discredited, and it is widely thought that the monster is a myth. Reports of a monster inhabiting Loch Ness date back to ancient times. Notably, local stone carvings by people at the way back depict a mysterious beast with flippers way back to early times. So here's a good question for you. Is Nessie a guy or a girl? I mean, nobody ever brings that up. Nessie is one of the most recognizable cultural icons in the world. It's typically referred to as a female. In other words, Nessie is a girl. And they refer to her by using the term she. Loch Ness boasts is a strange thing. You would think they would be able to submerge something to find it, and yet people report actually seeing it. They take pictures of it, and then the pictures are discredited and so forth. And so the Loch Ness monster is acknowledged by many, and we're not talking about many weird people. We're talking about many credible people, but they can't get to the bottom of that situation either.
Right, right. And again, you have this gap between, eyewitnesses and the actual, scientific study to kind of like fetch out and figure out what's really going on there. Is it possible, for example, that after all these years, the Loch Ness Nessie is actually a different, is it the same one? Or is there a family of these creatures? Have they bred? Are we looking at are the Ness, Loch Ness monster creature, whatever, that's stated today, is it the same one from 200 years ago, from 500 years ago? Or are we talking about an animal that just has this longevity to it?
Well, I think the most logical explanation, if you're looking at logical science, is that they're prehistoric, and she is a remnant of prehistoric life and somehow managed to survive. So, what do they eat? Well, the conjecture is that they fish, whatever they eat, they eat. But they're not dying. It's not dying off. Now, the interesting part, too, is you never see two of them at once.
Right.
You only see her. They say her because they like to refer to in the feminine gender. And it's got this long neck. And every once in a while, someone will publish a picture of it and say, you know, that picture was doctored, or that picture was, you created that picture. And then they checked with picture experts and said, no, and they didn't screw around with the picture. That's definitely her. And so I think the most plausible explanation is that it was some form of prehistoric life that continued to live. After all, prehistoric lives of animals like, Tyrannosaurus and all the other dinosaur types that used to float around, not necessarily float around, but even walk around. We have found bone structures, and we have found evidence of their existence, and this whole other thing with the Loch Ness Monster is fascinating to me. I don't understand why they don't just put down they have submarines that can go down and photograph the whole thing. It's only 800 feet deep, and see if they can spot it. Maybe it lives above the water and under the water. Maybe it can hold its breath forever.
Right.
I find that the whole thing is out there, but much the same as the other two topics we talked about, it doesn't seem to capture a huge amount of attention, other than people selling views. If you want to go over and take a look.
Right, that's a very good point, and it's something that people are in the fact that they can go and go into the water, they can actually go and try and see it. Right, you were mentioning before about the idea of going on like a boat ride or something like that. Of course, it sounds like it's also a lot of chance too. You could be driving along on the side of the lock, and all of a sudden you see this huge creature. So it could happen at any point in time. And again, it begs at our, it kind of scratches at our curiosity because it's unresolved. And again, the second question is, so why is it unresolved? Why haven't resources been allocated to investigate this? Maybe people want to keep it as a mystery. Does it pose a danger to boats, to swimmers? Has it ever been known to be a threat?
Why does it live in water? Why doesn't it ever walk out of the water and walk around?
Right. Well, okay.
Why does it do anything? Maybe there's some form of hibernation to that as well. Maybe everything we're seeing, or a lot of things that we're seeing now, are tied to minute climate changes. Because we don't know. I don't really have any idea. I don't really know. I know one thing for sure. I don't spend my days thinking about any of them. I just think about what I do every day and so on. I have seen Obama interviewed, and he says, I can't say. I don't know. If you take George Bush and Obama and Jimmy Carter and everybody else is still alive, and ask them what they think. It's inconceivable that one of them wouldn't have an opinion.
Right. It's almost as if, there's a tradition where the outgoing president leaves a handwritten note to the incoming president on the desk, on that big wooden desk in the Oval Office. And then no one ever knows what's on that note. It's kept as a secret. I'm wondering if they scratched the note like, don't discuss the aliens, don't discuss Loch Ness, don't discuss Bigfoot. it's some kind of like presidential secret. But beyond that, it's also not just presidents, it's also scientists and so on. I think there is, especially if you take a look at Discovery Channel, they have explored, they do touch on the more investigative aspects of these sightings. They do look into it, and they do actually, this isn't a plug for Discovery, but I happen to enjoy watching their programs in which they actually do send out investigative journalists to research what's been going on. So it's very, very interesting. Well, this has been very good.
Maybe they're all one organism. You know, the Loch Ness Monster is actually an offshoot of unidentified flying aliens and Bigfoot. Maybe they're all just one. I don't know. All I know is that there are some pretty smart people on this planet, scientific in nature, and they seem to be the believers. It's the politicians that are not the believers.
Right. Well, it could jeopardize and destabilize, as you say, their power. And so, you know, you don't want to start getting into that. The economy could be affected, and you know, it's like a last thing they need is to have an economic crisis because of aliens or because of something like that. So maybe they have their own agenda. I think maybe the thing that kind of links these ideas, whether it's Loch Ness or Bigfoot or aliens and UFOs and all that, and so many other mysterious things, is the fact that we're talking about life forms like us that we don't know. And I think that bothers us. It bothers us that we don't have the answers. Personally, I think that not knowing is okay. And leaving that sense of mystery is actually very healthy, very enjoyable, and brings just excitement to our lives.
Yeah, not knowing may be amusing. I don't think that we're entitled to know everything. All I know is that the universe is vast beyond your ability, the ability of your brain to comprehend how vast it really is. So, you know, there's got to be other people or whatever they're called floating around out there. I mean, I don't know if they got big ears and big eyes or they're 9 feet tall or what.
Or maybe they're tiny. Maybe they're actually microscopic. Why do aliens need to be so huge? One of the thoughts that I had, I've talked about this before with people who will listen, is that I often thought that the whole idea of COVID, that, you know, you take a look at the microscopic images of what COVID looks like, and it actually looks like these little very, very symmetrical, very, very perfectly shaped crowns, which I think Corona, by the way, which is the other name for COVID, Corona, the coronavirus, Corona actually means crown. Right, it actually means crowns, and it's very, very interesting that you've got these absolutely perfectly identical, symmetrical things. That, I mean, think about the power that COVID had. It swept through the entire world, affected everybody, regardless of what country and what nationality you were. You know, maybe it was a virus, maybe it was an alien invasion. Who says that they have to be big or human size? Maybe they're microscopic, or maybe they are huge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have no. Most people just, you know, use those words. I don't know. I have, but they have found, and they have in museums today, full bone structure of prehistoric animals. So we can look at them and say, yeah. Most people would say yes, dinosaurs did exist. We're not sure exactly why they ceased to exist. But they did exist. We have physical evidence of that. And they say, but they don't exist now. But the rest of them are you know, people think about them, but not too often. I don't think that they really pay that much attention to them. And I think what the primary reason is because those people that they admire for their intelligence or their political savviness and so on aren't paying attention. So they say, well, if they don't care about him, I guess I don't have to care about him either.
Very good. Very good. Good stuff. All right. We'll leave it there. Thank you.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure.